From the Len de Grandpierre University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of April, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vague. She's from Stuart Peterson. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear all about the agricultural weather forecast. We'll also take a look at today's cash grain market and catch up on what's been happening in the agricultural news. I'll remind you to stay safe out there on the planters today, get enough sleep, and for those who are traveling the back roads, make sure that you watch out for the tractors and the planters and those slow-moving vehicles. They're a lot bigger than you are, and they most assuredly will win any of those battles. Stay with us for this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, this is the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon. It's the 19th day of April. Be careful out there on the planters this afternoon. Do make sure you get plenty of sleep each and every night, too. We want you at your best. If you need to take a nap right now, just go ahead and do that. If not, plunge on through, and we'll make sure that we get you some good information. If you do, you can always come back and listen to us at willag.org. And if you happen to be traveling the back roads of any part of the country where they're planting spring crops at this point, be really careful. Those big tractors and planters and cultivators move a whole lot slower than you do. Now, on the line with us this afternoon is Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson. Hey, Jackie, thanks for being with us today. It's kind of a bumpy ride in the commodity markets, a little bit like riding the planter, I suppose, and the tractor out in the field.
Well, there's no question about that, Todd. And I think until there's some resolution to this North Korean issue, as well as the Great Britain special election, it's going to be tough. You know, the special election in Great Britain basically was a surprise to everybody. You know, that's something that's very unusual. It still has to be okayed by the parliament, but they do feel that that it'll give the UK voters, another opportunity to be able to say how they feel about the EU instead of having to just deal with the Brexit people who just want to leave. It gives Prime Minister May a better vision. The North Korean situation, who knows what's going to happen there? I mean, I think you can see it in the markets. They're jittery. You know, they send a couple more ships, and all of a sudden you see money coming out of the markets. The thing we have to recognize is that if for some reason something did happen and we saw some big drawdowns in the Dow, the first place they come after that to get margin money is over by us. So it doesn't necessarily mean that there's problems in our market. It just means that that's the way the world is.
So I suppose you've been thinking about this and the fundamentals of the marketplace and have been doing some research. What have you come up with?
Well, I'm glad you said fundamentals, because anybody who's listening, I want you to recognize this is purely fundamental. This has absolutely no technical side to it at all at this point in time. So what we were doing was, you know, looking at corn yield and carryouts, as well as the stocks to use ratios, and then, you know, basically a price range, you know, something, what ifs. So if we take 90 million acres of corn and we leave demand just the same as it was on this last report, when it comes to the bitter end, if we come in 162.5 bushels to the acre, that drops our carryout to 1.576 billion and the stocks use ratio goes to 12.6. You know, we're currently at 15.9 is where we are. The price range at that point then looks to be a 370 low or a 520 high. If we come in at close to trend line 170.7, we've got a 2.253, just slightly less than where we are right now, 360 to 410 with a 15.8% carryout, our stocks use ratio, excuse me. And if we would end up, you know, coming in with a better yield at 175.4, now we bump up the carryout to 2.64, the stocks use ratio 18.6, and then you look at a range of 195 to 340. Now, I want everybody to recognize, you know, this is based on no change in demand. And so one of the things I think that's even more interesting is what prices do in a calendar year after a record yield. Our best chance, after looking over 40 years worth of information, comes in December which would imply December 17 at about 28.6% of the time. So it would say that's the month that the high normally comes in after a year when you've had a record yield. The months, now this is interesting, the months that the low comes in, January and February, again at 28.6% in each of those months, and that would imply that our lows could come in January, February of 2018. When you look at the price range, you've got about a 50% chance of being between $3.30 and $5, quite a wide range when you come right down to it, you know. So it's interesting. Yeah, you know, you don't know what to think. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, we can't have another record crop and we can't this. And I don't think we can't is an actual position that a person can take. You have to be prepared for what can happen. Now, we looked at bean yields. Also, the carryout, stocks to use, and price range in the same kind of scenario, using 89.5 million acres with demand remaining the same. If we come in at 45.8, that takes our carryout to 319, which really sounds big, doesn't it? You know, compared to what we've had for the last number of years, that's a 7.6% stocks to use, but it puts us in a range of 9.25 to 12.25. At 48, we've got a carryout of 514. 12.2% stock, $7 to $10 range. Again, you know, $3 there. And at 50, and let's hope we don't get 50, it would put us at 691 for a carryout, 16.4%. And then you're looking at a range of $4.75 to $8. So, you know, there's a lot to think about, let's just put it that way, especially with the number of acres we're expecting to be able to plant here. If you use the November 16 contract low of 868, this would imply that the potential lowest low we'd see in March would be 766, and in July 685, and the lowest high we would see in March of 905 and in July of 972. So, you know, I'm sure that there are an awful lot of people out there that really aren't too thrilled with those numbers when you come right down to it, especially if you start talking in the, you know, below $7 level. But you know, this is fundamental information is what it is. We all know that technicals can change things, and, you know, so can different partners who are working in the marketplace itself.
Since we're in the midst of some fundamentals, kind of the basics of the marketplace, we often talk about managed money and commercial impacts in the marketplace. So what's the difference?
Well, you know, when you look at the managed money, they drive prices higher or lower when they're switching their positions. You know, in other words, if they've been long and very long for a long time, as they exit those positions, they put pressure on the down, you know, pressure to the downside. Very same thing if they get out of their short positions, you know, they push the market higher. You know, now commercials on the other side, you know, people say, well, how does the commercial really fit in there? Really, the action that the commercial takes in the market is very dependent on what the farmer does. You know, they sell the market when it rises, primarily because that's when you're selling grain in most cases. You know, and they're selling the market for fear that they're overpaying is basically what it is. You know, so your action drives what the commercials do. If you're not selling, they might be buying the market for fear that it's going to have to go up in order to get you to let grain go. But the majority of the time, the selling that goes on the commercial side comes just because the farmer's actually selling himself.
Hey, just one other thing before I go. I got a note from a farmer this morning in Wabash County, which is in southern Illinois. He finished planting corn, and he wanted to let us know this because, you know, a lot of corn hasn't been planted. But he and a lot of the area, he says, is 85 to 90% done. He finished Saturday of last week, which brings me to the weather, which is the final big stake in the marketplace. It's always about the weather.
Yeah, it is. It's weather, weather, weather. There's no question. You know, there are farmers hitting the land. One of our guys sent me a thing yesterday, a picture of him out in the land. He's up in Minnesota, actually quite a ways up in central Minnesota. And so you know that they're on the land. The thing we know for sure after Monday's weather was that we have adequate topsoil moisture in all of the main places. And I mean, even almost to the point of maybe a little much right now. But, you know, now's when you start hearing all these opinions, you know, varying opinions on when the yield losses began and, oh, we're behind on planting and blah, blah, blah. You know, if you rolled back 20 years, it could really make a big difference. Nowadays, where we've got GPS and like, you know, at the beginning you talked about guys being really tired. Well, that's because they can be out all night if they want to be. And you know, so it's a different situation. But I'm in the camp that, you know, corn is going to have to be planted later than May 15th to the 20th to really, you know, to really seal loss. And then over the years, you know, I've seen years where if the soil's warm, you know, you have more problems a lot of times when you plant too early and the soil is cold. If the soil's warm, that corn can catch up so fast. And if the weather happens to be good, you know, the new hybrids can really surprise a person. So I think that the days of being really upset about us being behind on planting, it's going to take a lot, let's just put it that way, to really make it a big concern. But it's always something to talk about. It's something to move the markets.
One more item before I let you go. Brazil, they're finishing up things. They, of course, have their second crop corn that's in the middle of the beginning of the season there. But their soybean crop, that one's probably in the bin.
It is, and CONAB did come out with some new numbers this week. They increased their bean production to 91.6 million bushels, or by 91.6 million bushels this month. Just 1 month, 91.6 million bigger. I mean, but they're still not as large as the USDA number that came out. So, you know, year over year, that's a 15.4% increase. And their acreage basically at 83.26 went up 1.4% from last year. So, you know, those are some pretty good numbers. I expect it's probably still going to continue to get larger. And on the Safrina corn side, you know, Safrina corn actually represents about 67% of the corn production down there. And so there's still a lot of things, a lot of time for weather to impact that, but the expectation is that it's going to be a whole lot better, you know, than it was last year when they had problems. So, you know, they're talking, just to bounce back the beans, they're talking in Brazil about 47.4 as an average for this year. And so that's exceptionally good when you consider some of the areas that they plant in. And so I was just looking at some of my things that I put together a couple years ago, and the amount of land that they have that they can expand on is about 210 million acres, and it's just really hard to imagine. But they have the ability to do it, and each year they seem to climb a little bit higher.
Hey, Jackie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks a lot, Todd. I love doing this. Take care.
Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. In today's agricultural news, if he has his way, Representative Colin Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, the ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee, would get rid of the Agriculture Risk Coverage, or ARC, program, commonly used by corn and soybean farmers, and keep the PLC, or Price Loss Coverage program. ARC will not be sufficient in the event of an average or below average crop, he told Brownfield Ag News in a recent interview following a farm bill listening session in Minnesota. I think we should put more money into the farm bill, Peterson said. In my view, I think we should get rid of the ARC program. We should have PLC and raise the floor to $4 for corn and $10.50 for soybeans and just have PLC. Well, EPA officials will hold a two-hour meeting at the agency's headquarters this afternoon with groups representing state and local officials to solicit their input and wisdom on the planned rewrite of the Waters of the U.S. Rule, or WOTUS. In a letter extending the invitation last week, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt said the consultation is a priority to both myself and President Trump. Pruitt won't be on hand for the meeting, though, since he'll be traveling right here in the Midwest. Well, as we just mentioned, EPA Administrator Pruitt will talk about WOTUS during his trip right here in the Midwest this week. but he won't be stopping in at the agency's regional office in Chicago. Union representatives from some 1,000 EPA employees in the Midwest want to meet with the administrator when he's in Indiana on Wednesday, today, to push back on a rumored plan to shutter the agency's Region 5 office. A report over the weekend suggested Chicago-based Region 5 could be consolidated into Kansas-based Region 7, though the EPA strongly denied it was planning to close the office. We'll stay kind of in this vein. A climate change meeting's been put off. Donald Trump's most senior advisors postponed a meeting yesterday, during which they had hoped to bridge the administration's internal divide over whether the U.S. should remain in the Paris Climate Change Agreement, or the Accord. A White House aide said that the gathering was being rescheduled because several Trump advisors were traveling with the president to Wisconsin. On that note, when Donald Trump visited Wisconsin yesterday, he defended U.S. dairy farmers in their growing dispute with Canada. "We're all going to stand up for dairy farmers in Wisconsin," Trump said in a speech in Kenosha. The president said the administration is going to call Canada and get a solution, not just the answer. The Canadian dairy industry is implementing a new pricing program and national ingredient strategy that allows Canadian cheesemakers to buy certain ingredients at the lowest world market price, a policy that's effectively pricing out U.S. exports of ultra-filtered milk. And finally, we'll stay on the trade front. Juan Carlos Baker, Mexico's deputy trade minister, said yesterday that he expects his country's negotiations with Argentina involving cars and agricultural products to be finished around the end of the year. Baker was part of a team of Mexican negotiators to visit Buenos Aires this week. The comments are sure to rattle U.S. producers. Mexico imported $2.3 billion worth of U.S. corn and $1.4 billion of U.S. soybeans in 2015. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined to take a look at the cash grain market by Stephen Lineber. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's outside of Logansport, Indiana, where they make ethanol. Hey, Stephen, I have a couple of quick questions for you about the ethanol facility. How big is that and how much output does it have each year?
I mean, from a standpoint, I could have to do the math and output annually, but we'll crush 125,000 to 135,000 bushels a day. So, and that pretty much is full bore 365. I mean, a couple off days and then a week downtime for maintenance. But outside of that, it's 125,000 to 135,000 bushels a day.
So you're constantly feeding that beast. Are you running full bore today?
Absolutely.
Tell me about the ability to feed it and where you have to attract corn from and how far away.
Well, I mean, we're starting to open that draw territory up a little farther to the north, south, east. East is a little more difficult just from a vomitoxin perspective. Pretty easy finds to the west if folks can make it work logistically. Our base is strong enough here today that the western, you know, eastern Illinois, western Indiana bushel today is pretty attractive at five over the May basis. So we're watching a little more movement open up there now. Pretty firm at that number today just because we're starting to watch wheels in the field turn a little and movement slows down just a tick. So now we're, the search expands just a little bit because the local gentleman, a little more higher priority things to do yet than deliver corn.
Are you working to fill up your on-site storage, and how much do you actually have?
Ideally, yeah. I mean, we're certainly trying to grow inventory today on, roughly 6 million space. That we don't like to draw out of if we don't have to, but certainly can draw out of in times in which guys are, finding a little higher priority things to do other than, deliver bushels. So therefore, we try to bring in more storage on a daily basis than what we do grind. So if we can turn around 200 trucks a day, and we know where we're grinding, we're growing that inventory by 60,000 to 70,000 a day, which is helpful. Probably a little slim there in our from our preference. We'd like to be a little larger than that, but we'll take what we can get.
And finally, what are your bids today, and how about in Delphi too?
Cash corn at Climbers would be 367. Cash at Delphi'd be 353.
That's Stephen Lineber of the Andersons. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Normally, we're joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He's not available for us this afternoon. However, we'll take a look at the weather forecast from the western Corn Belt to the eastern Corn Belt and start in Nebraska today, where it's 82 degrees and they have a chance of rainfall, sunshine tomorrow, 71, rain on Friday, Saturday, 60s, upper 60s for those 2 days, and back to some clear skies Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of next week. In Minnesota, they've got a little rain today, only 51 degrees there. Thursday, 54 for their high. And Friday, they'll go to 62 under sunny skies. Saturday, 66 and Sunday, partly cloudy on Sunday and 71. Maybe a chance of rain on Monday, 63. Back down to Tuesday at 56 degrees, but they'll have sunny skies. In Iowa, for their planting conditions today, it's 76 degrees, a possibility of rainfall. Windy tomorrow, but clear, 68 degrees. Friday, sunshine. Saturday, sunshine. Sunday, partly cloudy. And then Monday, 72 degrees. Maybe a chance of rain and more sunshine on Tuesday. And in Illinois today, 84 degrees. A chance of rainfall this afternoon. And tomorrow, 74. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all clear. And we'll have a low on the highs of 54 on Saturday. Jump up to 68, 72, 74 Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday in Indiana. Maybe a chance of rainfall today and tomorrow. Highs near 80 degrees. Friday, a 60-degree high. 53 for Saturday, 68. On Sunday, 71. Monday, Tuesday, 75. And Wednesday, 79. All under clear, beautiful planting condition skies in Indiana. Some of the other places that we probably should check in on, including in South America, we'll start in Mato Grosso, Brazil, where they raise more of the corn, second crop, than any place else in that South American nation. It's 90 degrees today, 93 tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, 89 on Sunday and 91 on Monday. A chance of rain all the way through that period. Same thing goes for Mato Grosso do Sul, a bit south of there, except that they'll have clear skies on Saturday and Sunday. The highs there, mostly in the upper 80s. As we get into Argentina, today 76 degrees, tomorrow 83, 77 on Friday, 79 on Saturday, all under sunshine, and then a bit of rainfall on Sunday and Monday, and about the mid-70s. So that's a quick look at some of the growing regions across the planet. You can always check our weather forecast anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. You either look on the right-hand side of the page if you happen to be on a desktop, maybe on an iPad or tablet. If you're on a phone, probably down at the bottom. Click on weather and you'll see the weather forecasts as they come in from our meteorologist all across the nation. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Do stay safe out there on the tractors and have a good planting season. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.